Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy made it official this week. House Republicans launched an impeachment inquiry of President Biden. But how they'll do it, when they'll do it, and most importantly, what the charges are, these things are all still up in the air. While we can state the obvious, this is not the first time in recent history that Congress has pursued impeachment of a president. So how might this time be different, either in substance or in process? Let's talk it through with NPR political correspondents who Susan Davis, and Senior White House Correspondent Tamara Keith. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to let you each weigh in on what you see as the same or different from impeachments past. Sue, kick us off. Just the foundation here. Is what we have seen so far the standard way to begin such a serious process?
No, and what's different here is that the core focus of the investigations that Republicans have been conducting to date have really been focused on what the president's son, Hunter Biden, did. Unlike past impeachments, where it was very clear, specific actions by the president that drove these inquiries, for Biden, there really isn't one single act I can point you to that Republicans are saying is the rationale for impeachment. What they're saying is, look, there's a lot surrounding his son, his business dealings and his communications with his father, business financial transactions that could implicate the president. So let's investigate this further.
So impeachment as investigation.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Speaker McCarthy has already said they're looking at charges of abuse of power, obstruction, corruption. But what actions are that Joe Biden potentially took to build the case for impeachment remains to be seen.
Tam, your turn. You've been digging in on how this impeachment compares or doesn't to impeachments past. What have you found?
Well, as Sue says, I think the biggest difference here is evidence of actual wrongdoing.
Or lack thereof.
Right. There is not evidence of actual wrongdoing that they have uncovered and presented to the public yet. With Clinton, there was the Starr report indicating that he lied under oath and also to the American people about his relationship with intern Monica Lewinsky.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Ms. Lewinsky.
With Nixon, there had been Senate hearings and a special prosecutor digging in and finding evidence.
The Watergate scandal broke.
So by the time that the House voted to formally launch an impeachment inquiry, that vote was overwhelming and it was bipartisan. In the case of Trump's first impeachment, there was a credible whistleblower complaint and public reporting, at least, about a phone call where the president tried to strong arm Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky into launching an investigation into Biden.
We had a perfect phone call with the president of Ukraine.
And then for the second impeachment, Tam, inciting an insurrection,
so
this was all, was all carried live on national TV.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol. And we're
right.
Going
it was
to
on live TV. They didn't even do an inquiry. They went straight to articles of impeachment. Also, because they're in a hurry, he was about to not be president anymore. One other big difference here relates to that. Every other impeachment going back to Andrew Johnson, they were impeached for something they did while they were president. In this case, the accusations that are being thrown around are all related to things that may or may not have happened almost a decade ago.
Sue, you cover politics, so let's talk about the politics of all of this. And note that an impeachment inquiry is a political process. It's not a legal court of law. I want to note something happening here is Speaker McCarthy is moving ahead with this inquiry under significant pressure from the right flank of his party. What do we make of that?
You know, one thing I want to point out here is that I think Republicans often misread history. You know, they point to what Democrats did under President Trump to say they ran towards impeachment and we're doing our impeachment here. Speaker Pelosi did not want to impeach Donald Trump. She spent most of her time telling her base, we're not going to do this. This is bad politics. It's a waste of time.
And none of us came here to impeach a president.
It was until that phone call happened that changed the fate of impeachment for Donald Trump.
The Zelensky call.
Exactly. Yep. The difference here is that Speaker McCarthy has been incredibly responsive to the conservative base who has been pushing for impeachment since day one. When he made that announcement this week, it was at the same time that at least one member of his conference was threatening to hold a vote to throw him out. I think it's fair to say that as he navigates this process going forward, he's in a very tenuous position. He is not a strong-arm speaker leading the conference there. He is responding to the needs of a base. And frankly, I don't believe the speaker even knows where this ultimately is going to land.
Tam, I want to turn you to just the pace of impeachments. It seems lately we have seen impeachment inquiries like every other year. Do we expect this to happen more often going forward?
Yeah, historically, there were some long gaps, and now they are very short. And the answer is that we'll probably see more of this.
And why?
Well, the lesson from the Clinton impeachment was that impeachment is politically risky. House Republicans lost seats in the midterms that year. Speaker Newt Gingrich ended up stepping down. But since then, gerrymandering means that there are fewer and fewer swing seats, fewer members of Congress who have anything to worry about other than their own political base. I talked to Keith Whittington. He's an impeachment expert from Princeton, and he told me the incentives have just shifted.
There's just not enough independent voters and swing voters to change that calculation the way that there were during the Clinton impeachment, for example. I suspect the political incentives now are going to push us toward having more impeachments rather than fewer.
And let's just say right now, everyone is fundraising off of this impeachment.
One thing I think is important to note here is that House Republicans and Senate Republicans have different motives and constituencies. And it is worth noting that Senate Republicans were pretty tepid to the news this week, some of them outright saying there's not an impeachable case here yet. We'll see what they find. You know, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, as recently as last month, was very publicly saying impeachment should be rare.
This is not good for the country to have repeated impeachment problems.
And politically, they can be very unpredictable. He survived the 1998 impeachment. He saw that Republicans took losses in the election. And he is a Republican who's looking at the 2024 election saying, look, all things being equal, we could stand to gain in this election. Maybe let's not mess it up with an impeachment process that we can't really control the outcome of.
A final question for you both. Sue, you first. Do we 100% know this train has left the station? Does this definitely go to articles of impeachment?
It seems hard to see how it does not. Once you rub the impeachment lamp, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. And the pressure that House Republicans are going to face from their base, from former President Trump, to find something that's an impeachable act is so great. It's hard to see how this doesn't ultimately land on the floor as some form of impeachment vote.
Tam.
I don't know what they're ultimately going to do. But what I do know is that calling it impeachment has given it a whole heck of a lot more attention than this investigation that has been going on this entire year had gotten up until this point. I shall say mainstream attention. Mm-hmm. It's gotten plenty of attention in the right-wing media environment. But now everybody's talking about impeachment, and that is something that is politically good for the Republican frontrunner who is four times indicted, twice impeached, and now he and his supporters can say, oh, look at Joe Biden. He's not a saint either. He's being investigated as part of an impeachment.
And Pierre Sue Davis and Tamara Keith, thanks to you both.
You're welcome.